In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Advent means coming. We are not coming to Christ or to God, but God is coming to us, which means we are waiting. But we are not very good at waiting. We get very impatient. Now, this is nothing new, for men throughout history have waited for God to keep his promise, and yet God delays. So as we wait, as we turn our attention to our Lord, who will soon be coming down on the clouds of heaven, as we wait for him to return, we look at and learn from the example of Abraham, the father of our faith, who too waited for God to keep his promise. May God grant us grace. God had promised Abraham a nation that would be as great and numerous as the stars of the sky and as numerous as the sand on the seashore. He promised that they would live in that land of Canaan and that he would drive out the foreign nations from before him. He promised, above all things, that the Savior himself would come from Abraham's descendants. And so having children was everything. No child means not only no descendants, but no Savior. But rather than holding on to the promise of God, Abraham wanted to help God along. It had been about 10 years since the Lord had called him out of Ur, the land of the Chaldeans, Babylon area, and to the land of Canaan. 10 years, and his wife had borne him no children. So Abraham thought he could just help God, assist him. It would not be a child from his own flesh and blood, but it would be his chief servant. He would be the one, Eliezer. He would be the one who would inherit his possessions. The more man tries to help God, the longer God delays, the more man gets himself into trouble. Abram grew impatient and acted as if God needed a little nudge in the right direction. When we don't see the results that we want in our lives, we try to help God along as well. Rather than taking God at his word and trusting that he will work everything for the good of his children, we get impatient. Christ promised to return for us, yet 2,000 years have passed. He has delayed, and we get impatient with his timetable. We want the joys and the bliss and the glory of heaven now, or we want Christ to delay even more because we enjoy what is going on in this earth. But we cannot speed up his arrival any more than we can speed up the arrival of December 25th. And we cannot delay his arrival any more than we can delay the coming of Christmas Day. When we fail to wait for the Lord and to act, when we fail to wait for the Lord to act in his time, in his way, then like Abraham, we also doubt what the Lord had told us. We try to figure it out on our own, which always leads us into trouble. So understand your place and understand God's place. You are not the one who created all this, God did. You are not the one who sustains all this, God does. You are not the one who offered your blood to redeem all this, God did. And so you are not the one who is in control of all things. You do not see everything clearly, not even in your own life, but God does. So wait for the Lord. Oh, we want to be the one in control because we want to make decisions that we think are beneficial for ourselves. So if we've had a hard life, we want God to come a little bit quicker. And if we've had an easy life, we want God to delay even more so we can enjoy our children growing up and grandchildren and all those other blessings. But God will not do what we want. He will not act on our timetable. He is king, we are not. He is God, we are not. He doesn't need our help. And so we wait for him in reverence. Reverence shows respect. It puts us in our place, and it also puts him in his place. It shows that you esteem him highly, that he is the authority, not you. You are in submission to him. So his word and his ways matter, not ours. So our eyes are fixated on him. Our ears are open to his word. And our hearts are filled with his promises. Yes, he delays, but he will always keep his promises. It is good that God himself is the one in control and that we are submissive to his ways, because he is not just a king, but he is a gracious king. His love is beyond compare. He does everything for the good of his church, so he delays for the good of his church, for the good of you and me, and even the good of the other believers in this world. But he will keep his promise. He has promised to bring you into the full glory of heaven. He knows what is good and right for you. He knows what is beneficial for you. And sometimes it's ease of life, other times it's hardships in life. Either way, we submit to the ways of God, because his way is always for our good. God came to Abram in a vision to teach him patience, to teach him trust in his way and his word. Eliezer the servant would not be the heir, but a man coming from Abram's own flesh and blood. He would be the heir. His descendants would be the one who take possession of Canaan. Abram tried to help God along, but God put Abram back in his place with a simple word of promise. And Abram believed the Lord. It would be about another 15 years before his son Isaac was actually born, but Abram believed the Lord. God delays even more to teach Abram grace. God did not choose Abram because he had such strong faith, but he chose him by grace. God did not choose the Israelites because they were the best nation on earth, but he chose them by grace. God did not choose to send the Savior to them who would live in the land of Canaan. He chose them only by grace. And God's way is always right, because God's way always means it is a gracious and loving way for us. And Abram believed. He didn't try to figure it all out, but he believed the Lord's way was good and right. For that is what faith does. Faith trusts the word of God. God makes us wait to teach us grace. He doesn't operate on our timetable, because he is a gracious master. And so when the time had fully come, God then sent his son. He kept his promise. 2,000 years after the days Abraham lived, Jesus Christ walked this earth. And he did crush the serpent's head as he had promised. And he did rescue us from sin and Satan as he had promised. The Lord delays to teach us it doesn't depend on our effort or our intellect or our reason. It depends solely on God's mercy and grace. For he always will keep that promise. So we wait. We wait trusting in his promise, not trying to help him along, because he is the one who saves by grace. We are his people. He is our God. We wait in reverence, submitting to his gracious word and trusting him, because he has proved himself to us time and time again. He will keep his baptismal promise to you. He will not let anything overcome you and destroy your faith. He will strengthen you and sustain you. And he will come to take you out of this world, just as he has promised. So with patience and trust, we wait. We wait knowing our place and knowing who our Master is. Our God is a gracious and merciful Savior. A fire pot and a torch passed through those two pieces of animals, or the animals that were cut in halves. This was an ancient way that they made treaties. The two parties usually would pass through the cut pieces of animals, signifying that if either one of them broke the treaty, may the other one do to them what they did to these animals. But God is the only one who passes through. Because God's promise and God's word do not depend on our ability to keep our side of the deal. God's promise and God's word depend solely on his grace. So by grace, God made a covenant with Abraham. By grace, he kept that covenant and sent him a son, Isaac. By grace, his children did inhabit and live in the land of Israel, and by grace, the Savior himself did walk on that land. Yet we have something far more certain and far more sure than a smoking pot and a torch. We have the flesh and blood of God himself. God became man for us when the time had fully come. He became man born of the descendant of Abraham. And he is the one who died to secure the promised land of heaven for us. He has sealed you with his own blood in the waters of holy baptism and promised to take you out of this world and to be with him in heaven. It is all by grace. So do not try to help God along. Do not try to make it make sense to you or come on your timetable. But submit to him in reverence and in faith, because God's way is always a gracious way. It is always a loving way, and it always is for your good. For it is by grace that you are saved. It is by grace that you are washed in baptism. It is by grace that he leaves you in this earth, and it is by grace that he will take you out of this world to himself in heaven. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.